This is Boomer in the Morning with Rhett and Ryan on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The show continues. Welcome to hour number two here live in the iconic downtown studios, making lives easier and better. That's Iconic Electric and Controls, my friend. And they are currently hiring in Calgary, hiring across Alberta. Fully ticketed tradespeople to fill all roles. You can learn more about the job opportunities that are open. iconicec.ca/careers. There's Warner, there's Pinder. I am Boomer, that's Riley. And we've got a little, it's not breaking news, but I have a show update for you. Very pleased to be able to tell you that coming up in the 8 o'clock, I had mentioned Al Morganti, of course, longtime Philadelphia Flyer reporter. He's a Philly sports legend. He's a U.S. sports legend. He's just a sports legend. All right?
Just a legend.
8:35 or so, we'll get Morganti. And just after 8 o'clock, The lovely lady who has given us both Matthew and Brady Tkachuk, their mom, Chantel Tkachuk, is going to join us at about 8:05.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that? I reached out yesterday and didn't hear back and figured, okay, well, that's, you know, it's nothing. She's not interested. I totally get that. And then this morning, hey, you know what? Sorry, missed your message. Yeah, well, give me a ring. So we are going to, we'll chat with the wife of Keith and the mother of those two. Imagine
seen
stories.
Some things, I'm thinking, right?
Good. I mean, really.
I just think about feeding those three dudes.
I think of the stories yet to come, right? Like, I mean, they're not living at home. But, you know, there's some chicanery still to come down the line for that poor lady.
Mom comes for a visit. What's this dumpster-sized pile of laundry doing here, Matthew?
Yeah. Think of your mom, Rhett. Garbage she had to put up with you.
Maybe.
Maybe?
There were a few things.
Yeah?
You'd call her blasted on the road at 2 a.m. singing music. Come on.
Love of my mother. What's wrong with that?
You would be on the road.
On the road again.
And get liquored up and then feel like, I got to call mom.
You up, mom?
No, Rhett, I'm not up. It's 2 in the morning.
They stopped answering. Don't worry.
Did they? Yeah. After how many times?
Two or three.
Yeah. So there you go. Ian Mendez is well going to join us a little bit later. Now, I said before the break, there's something that you're a guy we can go to on this. I saw something trending on the Twitter yesterday. And I was like, well, what is this about? And then I kind of got it. I don't know how it got started, but it was trending yesterday. It was even trending this morning when I got to work. Now, I'll go to you, Rhett. What is the city that you currently live in?
Calgary?
A little louder, a little clearer.
Calgary.
Calgary. Ryan, what is the name of the city that you currently reside in?
Brisbane, mate. Calgary.
Calgary? Calgary? Calgary. A wild debate online as to who is right, and if you say it a certain way, where you're from, because you're certainly not a born and raised Calgarian.
I know the origin story of it trending.
Okay.
Danny Austin.
Was it him that started it?
Yes, it sure was. It was Danny Austin.
Because he got said, I've lived
weird
here.
Weird Raptors honk.
Well, he's the Stampeder.
Oh, I know. You know. Have you seen him in Raptors gear during that run a couple springs ago?
Oh, I believe he is a Toronto native or from in and around that area.
So there was a.
You think he was the 12th man. It's unbelievable.
Original tweet, someone named Maria Haskins. Is there a place name in your neck of the woods that will, when someone pronounce it, immediately reveal whether they're local or not? And then he put out the tweet 17 hours ago. Have legitimately lived here a decade, and I'm still not 100% sure if it's pronounced Calgary or Calgary. And then people started chiming in, it's neither of those. Because it's Calgary, like, you know, Calgary. So there's Calgary, Calgary, Calgary. And the consensus seemed to be, if you say Calgary, you're from Saskatchewan. Rhett
and
goes and
what's the slight? Is that supposed
I'm
to be
no,
a
I'm
bad
just saying
thing,
that they appear
it?
To be right because you are a you're a Detroit? You're a tuner. There's a Detroit's kind of exact.
Toronto, Trana.
So Riley, do you say Calgary?
I say Calgary because my prof, like the first day at broadcasting school at MRU, told us all of us Saskatchewan people that we were saying it wrong and forced us to say it the other way. So,
pretty much verifying that take you had, Boom.
So can you go a little slower?
Calgary.
So you're going Calgary.
Yeah.
Like G-R-E-E, Calgary.
Yeah.
Calgary. 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 I think I'm Calgary. But I'm from Manitoba, but I haven't lived there. I've lived in Alberta longer than I lived there. So does that change things?
Yeah, what's the cutoff?
I don't know. Calgary. If you're from Saskatchewan, you guaranteed say Calgary. So I wanted to test you. Wanted to see if that was the case.
Did I?
You passed. Congratulations, Rhett.
Thank you.
What? Trying to remember what you said. I'm kind of doing my old man. You had somewhat sharp criticism. What did you have for me when I started talking about the NFL?
Since when have... First of all, we never agree on things, so that's...
Consensus, yeah. Kumbaya.
It's
what's
hard to
nonsense?
Come up with a consensus. And the odd time that we do, typically,
way
it
wrong.
Blows up in our face. So for us to come together and choose a game...
Because here's what I'm thinking... We go head-to-head, and we keep track and all of that. In an effort of solidarity, if we can all agree. Now, if you don't, you don't have to, then that's not a show pick. But if there's one of these games, and we'll run through the lines, maybe there's a little team bonding, a little team spirit on some NFL picks this week.
Is this you trying to separate yourself from that horrendous record down the stretch of NFL picks?
No,
so
I own that.
You went against the opposite of what you did? Because I don't want to see otherwise why else we would sing Kumbaya and hold hands together on this program. Mm-hmm. We've never done it.
Because, well, look, that's what I'm saying. Let's try something new.
We've done it on the Bills a couple times and the Cowboys a couple times. I think they lost both times.
Doesn't matter. It's a new year, new us. New year, new show is what it is.
Yeah.
And I own that crap record. It was good for a while, and then it went poorly. I'm not one of those, oh yeah, well, it was still the right pick. I still should have gone that. No, it's been bad. So we're going to start Vegas at the Bengals. This is the early game on Saturday. Of course, the Raiders sneaking in. Bengals had last week off. No, Burrow didn't play. Did Jamar Chase even play last week? Mixon didn't play. Bengals at home, 5.5-point favorites against the Las Vegas Raiders. Both quarterbacks, there are five quarterbacks making their playoff debut. Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, and Derek Carr. So both quarterbacks.
Carr's debut?
His first ever playoff start.
Don't they usually blow it down the stretch?
Well, I don't
play well at the start of the year, and then...
Well, they certainly did this year, and they did last year, but this...
Well, and on Sunday night, they had a 15-point lead with 5 minutes left and needed a non-timeout in overtime, but yeah.
5.5 in Cincy, Bengals favored.
Yeah, I'll go with Cincy. That's fine.
I like Cincinnati, too.
Playoffs, you kidding me?
I like Cincinnati as well. Riley?
So a guaranteed Raiders win.
Yeah, I like Cincy. So, congrats, Raiders Derek Carr, on your first.
No. So now, don't bring in the bad juju here. Like, stay positive. That's what I'm saying. If we feel good about it, then we're going to will this thing to victory.
Positivity is going to help our picks? Is that what you're saying?
I can tell you firsthand, having played Joe Burrow in the semifinals of fantasy and then Jamar Chase in the consolation final, they have been red hot. Takeaway last week because those guys didn't play. The final, essentially, 2 weeks that mattered in their season. They were unbelievable. And on the Raiders' side?
So in fantasy points, they'll beat the Raiders, is what you're saying?
Look, they club teams anyway. It's not like it was just in fantasy. Chase and Burrow look like a duo that are going to be an absolute force for years to come.
To your point, 75 points the last two games they were trying to win. Baltimore, KC, not bad opponents. Impressive.
And I'm trying to remember what the stat columns were, but it was the first time they had these to have a passer and a couple of receivers because T. Higgins was also in there, over 1,000 yards, and Nixon. Guys under 25 years of age. It's a good team. And on that other side, it's Derek Carr. Come on. 5.5. I'll take it. Give the points away. Look, so there's our show pick. There, we're 1-0. We're 1-0.
You're counting that as a win already.
I don't even have to play it?
Don't even have to play it.
Yes. Well, then we can't lose.
Get your wallet.
Well, I'm going to put a lot of money down then, if that's okay.
New England, Buffalo. It's going to be very, very cold. The forecast, frigid.
How cold, Dan?
In Buffalo. I can look it up right now. All I know is what I've been reading is that windy, not so much, but bitterly, bitterly cold. So who's best? Little Mac Jones with his little hands, little tiny hands, little Mac Jones, or the Buffalo Bills. Bills have moved now. It was 3.5. They're now a 4-point favorite at home against Belichick and the Patriots.
Ooh, it is cold in Buffalo.
A 3 Fahrenheit? What's that?
Eef.
Minus something? Is that what it is?
Oh, it's you're damn right. It's minus. I mean, you know what zero is in Fahrenheit? Come
no,
on.
I don't.
It's minus 16.1 Celsius.
Yeah.
Burr, right?
It's cool. Mm-hmm, that's a burr.
So this will be, the third time they will face each other in about a month?
Nah, over that, but close.
Because there was the Patriots win where Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times. Then there was the rematch where the Bills outclassed the Patriots. So, Rhett, what's your feel?
Well, I'm not my feel. This is just my team. Like, what am I don't have a feel. I go with my team. I've done it.
Well, there's a spread, right? Like, you could still, your team could win but not cover.
It's the Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Uh-huh.
They get that dumb horn going.
I saw a video on YouTube the other day. It was a tutorial for how to power bomb your buddy through a table.
There you go. Are they doing that in New England? I don't think so.
Like, and they treated it serious. Like, it was actually pretty good. It was like, for safety reasons, now you need to remove this from the bottom of the table. Because
get those metal bars out of there.
Yeah, because it's safety, and you do want the table to collapse. So by all means, take this bar out, and now when you take your friend, make sure you double underhook here. Don't go too high under the arm. I think the Buffalo Bills are poised to win this one, -4.
Why does everyone talk about that win game like it doesn't count for the Patriots? I'm confused by that. Like, was it only win when Buffalo had the ball? Or like, oh, they only let Mac Jones 3 times? Well, yeah. So who won the chess game?
That's fair.
Belichick or the other guy?
Well, that's fair.
Now, it's not windy, so that doesn't really mean, you know, they're going to go to the same game plan. But you are going to lay points against Belichick in a playoff game against a team that he's faced twice. That scares the crap out of me. Now, I think the Bills can win it, but doesn't it feel like it's a frosty day in Buffalo and it's going to come down to somebody's foot in minus 16 making a field goal or missing it? That's what I'm feeling. And that would be a cover from the Patriots, even if that field goal is made by Buffalo as time expires.
All right.
Well,
this doesn't feel.
I'm reading.
This doesn't feel like a show pick. This is
Vrabel and Frazier are interviewing Sunday with Miami.
DeBoer,
that's not focus.
It's how it goes in the NFL, though.
That
it's
is
a pain
much.
In the ass.
The gun
it's
coaches
awful,
and
it,
coordinators, and then all
what
these.
What in the H? Huh?
Like, there's not a bit of time between the Super Bowl and next year. You got to do that now, hey?
Yeah, like
but
Sunday.
It's everywhere. It always happens. It's infuriating because to Rhett's point, Brian DeBoer is going to be scheming up how Miami can be competitive, and all the other teams asking him to chat while he's working on stopping Bill Belichick in the playoffs.
All right, so Riley, let's start with you. If I had to, I don't love it, but I'll take the Bills at home, -4.
I would go Patriots plus four.
All right, so it's off. It's already gone. There's no harmony. We're not in unison.
Nope. See ya.
And that's one thing that I, as a show, that's what we need to be. We all need to be together. Pinder, if you had to pick, which way are you going?
Oh, I just told you.
So I'm the odd man out?
Well, Rhett's going to take hasn't his made team, it. Even though he's all of a sudden reading about the coordinator's interview. And that
I'm not impressed
like a
with
confident
terrible
Rhett.
Attitude, but of course I'm going with the Bills.
All right, so we're down the middle. We can't do that. Now, Tampa Bay, Sunday, game one, 11 o'clock. The Philadelphia Eagles, we wondered how did they get in. They were 0-8 against teams with winning records. Tampa Bay coming back, obviously no AB. A little dinged up. Looks like Mike Evans going to be okay.
No Godwin.
No Godwin. Leonard Fournette.
They do have Vita Vea, despite me suggesting he was injured earlier in the week.
Yeah, he signed that big
good
big
job, Pinder.
Fat
contract. That's what it was.
Leonard Fournette missed, what, a couple weeks there at the end. He is back. They are 8.5-point favorites at home. And I think this one's going to be kind of a muggy, sweltery kind of a thing in Tampa Bay, from what I had read. 8.5 points.
I hate this line. I hate it.
Because it's right about where it should be.
Well, and it's like, I don't think Tampa's that good, but I think Philly's really bad in terms of, like, we're in the playoffs. They haven't beaten a single team with a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the Bucs don't really have the swagger of a defending champ when you look at what they're missing and how they performed down the stretch here. I don't believe in either of these teams. Tampa, I think, is clearly better and going to win, but that's a lot of points.
I don't love it either. If I'm forced to pick, I will give away the 8.5 and take Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's
8.5.
They can stop the run, and that's the saving grace. Because the Eagles can't do anything else. They didn't run the ball well, and that's about it.
They don't have a receiver that's going to kill you. They've been running the ball, but I don't think that group of running backs, it's Miles Sanders. I'll take Brady versus Jalen Hurts. I think the old B.A., is going to be able to scheme and game plan and get this thing done.
So he's going to be able to pull one out of the fire like they just beat the Jets the other day?
No, jeez. I think. What do they have to play for, right?
Oh, you know, seeding in the playoffs.
What do they really
it.
Have to play? And how did it work out? Was it worked out okay? And they did win. I think that Tampa Bay flexes here a little bit. -8.5. Riley?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, Rhett?
I'll go Tampa.
All right. Show pick, we're in.
Really?
Ooh, that's not.
See, I feel you're just doing it to kind of, really?
Do you feel the Eagles are trash. I really don't want to like Tampa, and I would love to see them flame out, but this is junk they're playing. They cover.
Afternoon, San Francisco into Dallas to play the Cowboys. Cowboys, -3.
Ooh,
I know how I feel.
I know what got me through and made me look so smart all year. It was the Dak attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dallas. Home teams, boys. Home teams.
I'm the other side.
I'm taking the points.
I'm taking the points.
I'm taking San Fran outright.
Me too. I think it's San Fran outright and +3. I think they're gonna go. I think they're gonna go in. I think they're gonna bully the Cowboys a little bit. I think Debo's going to be a real problem. Kittle.
Film enthusiast James Garoppolo. How's he doing? He's like got film? That torn ligament in his thumb.
He just doesn't have to lose it. Just don't lose it, Jimmy Graps.
And Trey Lance, if they want to get sexy near the goal line.
Yeah, I think
Debo's been unbelievable.
And Kittle's just been okay, right? You had him on your fantasy team, so you'd know as well
as
anybody.
Yeah, he's missed a big chunk of the season in the middle, but... Yeah. The one thing that scares you with Dallas, at the beginning of the year, you would have thought it's the offense and all the weapons and Dak and, wow, look at them go. But it's the big plays on defense. It's Diggs. What is the other guy? Is it Parsons? Like, they've some major weapons taking the ball away. Like, pick like 6 points from the defense. It happens a lot for Dallas. If they can do that, I love them. But boy, like, The Niners look like a playoff team. They run the ball. They don't kill themselves. They can eat the clock. They can keep that offense off the field. I'm taking the points.
It doesn't matter what you dummies want. It's not a consensus.
It's not a consensus. It's not a show pick, which is fine.
Get it out of here.
All right.
Now, we got to go with Big Ben. I mean, this is a destiny.
Sunday night.
Little fat face, eh?
I mean, very subtle, very subtle there, right?
If we can relate to anyone.
Yeah, you get the old furnace face 80-year-old quarterback who trips himself and can't throw the ball 8 yards.
Yes.
What's the line here?
Yes, 13.
Yeah.
How many points is he getting?
He's getting 13 points.
Maybe if I grow my beard long enough, my face won't look so chubby. Not working, Ben. Yeah, it's
now it just looks like a beach ball that somebody's rolled through some hair.
Well, Ben told his teammates, the other day? Look, out of all the teams that get in, we're probably the worst ones, right? No one expected us to be here. It's Kansas City. Everyone's going to love on them. Let's just go and have some fun. I don't know if it's going to work. Kansas City, the spread here is minus 13.
A lot of points.
It's a lot of points, and man...
12.5, 13, the very way we're looking here.
I can't tell you how many times I've been on the wrong side of Kansas City this year.
It's a public play. They've been awful against the spread.
So I think the Chiefs win. I don't love it. I would probably just take the points.
Really?
I probably would take the points, and it's recency bias only because Kansas City screwed me. They screwed me last week. They screwed me all year.
Well, didn't you say that Kansas City is terrible again? Like,
they have not been good against the spread this year. But, I mean, what week was it?
Huge numbers to cover.
It was like, is Kansas City back? Is Kansas City back? Well, it looked like they were back. And Mahomes and company have been really good the last month, 6 weeks.
You guys recall these teams played like 3 weeks ago? You recall? Need a refresher?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, it was at Arrowhead, so.
Yeah.
That's familiar, too.
This one is at Arrowhead,
36-10 Kansas City. And I would expect more of the same.
So they won by 16, so it was close.
No. Tale as old as time. Math on the show.
36.
Song as old as rhyme. Stupid show.
So stupid. 36-10. Yeah, so 16 points. The spread's 13. The Pittsburgh maybe get a defensive touchdown. You're right there.
Oof.
God love you, Rhett. So, like, yeah, I'm definitely taking Steelers plus 13. And then on Monday, it's the Rams at home to.
Whoa. Do we get a pick there or not?
I don't know that we have a pick. Riley?
I didn't sway you with the recent route?
I'd be taking the Chiefs. To cover that spread,
minus 13.
Spread. Yeah.
All right.
Spread it on.
Spread it out. Spread it on. Pinder, you're taking Chiefs.
Yeah.
All right. Red, are
like
we really
idiot?
So are we really taking plus 13 with the Steelers? Or are we okay?
It's called
no show pick.
Weird things happen to future Hall of Famers.
The Arizona Cardinals Monday go into LA, play the Rams. 4-point favorites. Are the Rams?
I don't even know who wins this game. These two teams have teased us so much this year. They've looked like world beaters. They've completely flopped. So I'm just going to go with the rule of they've played each other twice. Take the points. Don't worry about the rest. Is that a rule? Did I just make that up?
I don't know what if you say it is, then it is, I guess. I am taking the Cardinals plus the points on the road.
Me too.
Show pick.
Well, we need a Monday night, so I'll go with the Cards as well.
Yeah, there we are.
There we go. Now, and again, we can come back on Monday and change our minds, I suppose. But Cliff Kingsbury says, I expect Kyler Murray to play the best game of his career.
That'd be pretty good. He's had some good ones. So what are we talking, 400 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 3 in the air?
And if Matt Stafford wants to keep throwing picks and pick sixes, that would help too.
He's averaging 1 a week, so.
There you go. 960-960, the fan foot or the fan feedback line. Let us know what you think. Do you like our picks? You digging?
What are our picks?
Well, out of we have
you got three.
We have three show picks.
3 for 6.
We have the Bengals.
Now I
right?
thought you said let's find one, so maybe we should dig in.
No, that's just how much chemistry there is on this show.
Oh yeah, this
that's
is
all the guaranteed wrong picks because we're on the same page. Stop.
We'll break and come back. Ian Mendez is going to join us, longtime Ottawa sports reporter covering everything Ottawa. This case, the Senators. They're in town tonight for the first home game in ages for the Flames. The first game, well, like second in almost forever. For the Ottawa Senators, both these teams are dying to play some hockey, and they get to tonight at the Dome at 7 o'clock. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder and Rhett Warner on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Your game day sponsor, Country Hills Toyota. Order your new Toyota now. Get zero down, no payments until June of 2022 OAC. Plus, free winter tires or remote starter. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. 7 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock, warm up with Steinberg. And yeah, you almost feel kind of, we're pretty sure there's going to be a game. We feel pretty fairly confident about how the hell do we know. But we're hoping that there's a game tonight. Both of these teams are hoping that there's a game tonight. Flames have missed a bunch. So, too, have the Senators. Pleased to be joined by our next guest. He is, you know what he is? He's an Ottawa legend. He's an absolute Ottawa legend. He does it all. He's a writer. He does radio. He does television. He's debonair, suave. Everything you could compliment a guy with, he is that. He is Ian Mendez, who joins us right now. Ian, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey. Good morning. I got to get you into my next contract negotiation.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, that's how that goes, right? No, it's good to talk to you. Always appreciate you coming on for us. We here in Calgary, we sit, because, you know, you get focused on the team you cover and the team that you watch. It's, man, all these games, they're stacking up. When are they going to play these games? And that, until I really dug in, I didn't realize that the Senators have as big a gripe, maybe more. Second game in 26 days, 10 of their last 11 have been postponed. I don't know how, as athletes, as a company you do it, but these are high-level athletes. I don't know how you just practice and practice with no end in sight. What's it been like for in the people that you've talked to, for this team and for these players, as they have done nothing but just sit around?
Yeah, and I think what's really frustrating from Ottawa's perspective too, guys, if you go back to November, the Senators were kind of the first team in this hockey season that was really hit by COVID. If you recall, back in November, they were begging the NHL, please postpone some of our games. The league finally they did it in November. And ironically enough, the last time Ottawa and Calgary played, which was a game in Ottawa, I think on a Sunday night in November, Ottawa had nothing left in the tank. I think they had 9 guys out of the lineup for that game. They lost 3-0 or 4-0 to the Flames. And finally, after that game, the NHL was like, "Woof, okay, you know what? You're right. This is not good for anybody." And they put pause on Ottawa's season for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Senators are like, "Are you kidding me? Like, we've got 13 games. I think they've got 13 games that they've got to make up." I think they're feeling frustrated because they were the team that the league wouldn't shut down for in November. Now they can't get a game. And just to give you guys an idea of how frustrating this last week has been, if you go to if you go to Friday of last week, they were supposed to fly to Vancouver. Like, they were all – the charter was gassed up, ready to go to Vancouver for Saturday's game. And they roll into the arena on Friday, and they get told by the league that game's not happening. And they were like, "Are you kidding me? Okay, no problem. We're going to fly to Edmonton on Saturday, get prepared for the game against the Oilers on Monday." They fly to Edmonton, and not, I think, an hour after they landed, 2 hours after they land, the Oilers put 11 people into COVID protocol, I think including 6 players. And then on Sunday, the Oilers canceled practice, and then they canceled the game, or they postponed the game. And Ottawa's like, "Are you kidding me? Like, we now flew to Alberta for no reason, 2 days early." So this has been frustrating. This will, as you mentioned, this will be their second game in 26 days, and I don't know. DJ Smith, the head coach, has done a really good job in trying to, you know, create these little 3-on-3 games. But as you guys know, you can't replicate game situations. He has tried to treat this like a second training camp, but it's frustrating. Everybody's ready to go, and I don't know. I mean, they're going to be super rusty. I know that tonight.
Well, see, and we were keeping an eye on it because we knew that game was coming, And it had felt kind of tenuous. I didn't realize that they actually did make the trip to Edmonton, and then that got canceled. Now, they'll play it, with any luck, on Saturday as the Oilers do come out of their COVID situation. Now, as far as where the Senators are at right now, Tim Stützle, the only guy. So tonight we're going to see more or less the NHL version of the Senators?
Yeah, you should. And again, you go back to the last time Calgary and Ottawa played, there were so many guys, I think, that were missing from Ottawa's lineup in that go-around. If you look at Ottawa's lineup now here, and I know the Flames have really dealt with COVID too. Like, Ottawa and Calgary have been two of the teams that have really seen the virus kind of rip through the roster. The only guys in Ottawa that are kind of regular players that have not been placed into COVID protocol all season, I think there's only two guys, and it's Artem Zub and Brady Tkachuk. That's it. Timmy Stützle getting added to the COVID protocol the other day must be super frustrating for him, because here you are at the tail end of a stretch. You've played one game in 24 days. You've watched a bunch of your teammates go into protocol, and now you go into protocol just as you're starting to play games again. So you should see pretty close to Ottawa's A lineup tonight, with the exception of Tim Stützle. So you'll see Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris, and Drake Batherson on the top line, and Thomas Chabot, taking his usual 25-plus minutes on the back end. And I think you'll see Matt Murray in goal, too. So you'll see pretty much Ottawa's A lineup tonight.
Well, we were discussing it because Matthew Tkachuk here is one of the few guys, if not only guys, he didn't get it either. So we don't know what's in that bloodline with the Tkachuks.
Yeah. Just what kind of vitamins are they taking?
Just stubborn, right? Just gristle. Nothing but gristle and stubbornness in that Tkachuk bloodline. So they've been good. Now, Brady Tkachuk gets the C. He's played 26 games. It seemed like from afar that's the no-brainer. Is that the situation there as well? Because here in Calgary, we don't have a captain, and there's talk, he's Matthew, but he's got a contract. Obviously, the long-term deal helps with Brady Tkachuk, but it was the only choice, the real choice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, look, there was some discourse here, and I think it was good, a good conversation to have, because Thomas Chabot signed a long-term contract here. He's a really, he's just a really good spokesperson. He speaks in both languages, which I think French and English, which I think is important in a market like Ottawa. So I think there was some good conversation around having Thomas Chabot potentially be the captain. But at the end of the day, there's one guy who's the catalyst and the straw that stirs the drink, and whatever term you want to use, the engine that makes it go. It's Brady. And Brady Tkachuk, the only thing that was a holdup was he going to sign a long-term contract? Would they make him a captain if he signed a bridge deal? And then it obviously became a pretty interesting situation. At the end of the day, though, this guy has been unbelievable. Like unbelievable as the captain. And I think he got named the captain. I think he played maybe five or six games this season. Then they named him the captain. He's basically been a point-a-game guy. Like, I think he's played 18 games as the captain or 19 games as the captain, and he's got 19 points in that stretch, something like that. Like, it's been great. Like, the C suits him perfectly. He's exactly what this fan base needed, which was a young superstar willing to commit to this organization. Just, and as you know, with this family, they just seem like authentic people who love playing the game, and they play it with an edge and a style that maybe doesn't sit well with a lot of opponents, but boy, when they're on your team and they're going, you love to have them. And that's exactly what Brady's been for Ottawa.
Ian Mendez is our guest here on Sportsnet 960. Ryan?
Get us up to speed on the Matt Murray file, how things started this year and where he went, the circumstances for his return, and maybe where the relationship's at now with the head coach, general manager, organization, and other.
It is utterly fascinating, guys. And you'll see it tonight because, I think you'll get the start just because the other goaltender, Anton Forsberg, just kind of came out of COVID protocol while they were in Edmonton and really hasn't played a game in a month and has only had a couple of practices. So I think it would be unfair to throw Forsberg in there. But this is one of the most fascinating contractual stories, I think, in the entire NHL, is Matt Murray, because you're carrying a $6.25 million cap hit for each of the next two seasons. But I think what's really important is that people need to understand, in terms of real dollars, they're going to be paying Matt Murray $8 million in real cash 2 years from now, in the last year of his deal. And that guy got put in the AHL this season. Like, think about that for a second. Like, a guy who's got 2+ years left on his contract, including a year in which he'll get $8 million in real cash, got sent to the minors, like, in the middle of the season. Like, that almost never happens. So This is going to be fascinating. There's an opportunity, I think, tonight against Calgary. If he can find his game, if he can be steady, there's an opening here for him to get some starts. But I'll tell you what, if he struggles tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if on Saturday they're in Edmonton that they go right back to Anton Forsberg. So there's a little bit of a window here. I think Matt was really sour that he got sent down in November. I think he was embarrassed. I think he was humiliated. I think he didn't like the way it was handled. I think he felt like if you didn't like the way I was playing, you could have sent me down on a conditioning stint. You know, I think he came out of COVID protocol there, had one start and struggled. I think he felt like if you had just said, hey, you know, Matt's coming off COVID, he's not quite doing well, let's send him on a conditioning stint, it would have been easier to do. But he felt like he was kind of publicly embarrassed and humiliated, and he went down and he was a pro, but the AHL team got shut down by COVID too. So he only played two games in the AHL, guys, and then got called back up because of COVID situation in Ottawa. So that if you're looking at any storyline from Ottawa tonight in this game in Calgary, it's Matt Murray and how he does in the net as the starter.
And I guess it brings us a little more sort of full circle to the general manager who made that bet on Murray, coming off some really rough play for the season and a half prior to the signing, giving up assets to get him, then paying top of market dollars. Like, that was the same offseason that Markstrom, I believe, went to the Flames for six a year. Murray's making more. They had to give up assets to get him, and he wasn't playing that well going in. Dorion then this summer says, okay, the rebuild's done. When does the heat go to him, or is it already there?
It should be on him, and I think that there is some heat on him in this marketplace, and I think he's okay with taking some heat. I think, you know, I'd have to go back, and this is, you know, this is why I love doing these types of conversations, because, you know, you end up getting some ideas for, hey, this is a good idea for a column. Well, I'll tell you what, when Ottawa misses the playoffs this year, let's be honest here, they're sitting in 30th place in the overall standings. Those eight teams in the East are locked into to go to the playoffs. Ottawa's not making the playoffs here. When they miss the playoffs this year, it'll be the fifth straight year that they've missed the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll have to go back and look. How many times in NHL history has a general manager kept their job after missing the postseason in five straight years? And then not only that, guys, it's not that you just missed the playoffs by a hair. This would be five seasons in which they finished 30th, 31st, 30th. Last year, they got on that great heater at the end of the year, and they went from 31st to 22nd, and then they're back in the 30th now. This would be, I think, unprecedented. I'd have to go back. I think maybe, like, I'd have to go back. Like, the early Nashville teams, like, David Poile was around there. They didn't make the playoffs, I think, for the first few years. I think you're talking about expansion-like teams. Like, this would be potentially unprecedented. So, and especially in the Canadian market, you saw it with Jim Benning, I think, in Vancouver, where it simply felt like at some point something had to give. But they did have that one year where they kind of made the playoffs in the bubble. But outside of that, I think that would be the only comparable, would be kind of maybe Benning in Vancouver. And you felt like that was just a regime that was going to topple. And I don't know what happens here, but I do think if you miss the playoffs in five straight years, at some point somebody's got to be accountable for it.
Yeah, and when Borowiecki and Melnyk did that between Two Ferns, what was that timeline that Eugene laid out? Were they expected to be cup contenders? Are we there now, or is that still down the road in what he was saying at that point?
Yeah, so think about this, guys. That Borowiecki-Melnyk between Two Ferns, that was September of 2018. September of 2018. Jeez. We're coming up to 4 years from that. So when they originally laid out the timeline, they said from 2021 to 2025 would be their quote-unquote window to be of having unparalleled success, and they were going to spend to the cap. Well, welcome to the year 2022, and you're dead last in second last, I think, in payroll, and or at least bottom five in payroll. I have to check because, you know, with the COVID stuff, people's cap numbers have all kind of fluctuated here. But you're a bottom five spending team. You're a bottom five standings team. And anytime you call them out, it turns into this, you know, I'm a believer in holding them accountable to their words. And so if they've shifted the narrative and the timeline on that, fine, then tell us what that is. But we're still going off of, in a lot of ways, some of the stuff that you've said in the past, and you haven't really necessarily updated it. And this is a super intelligent market. This is a super patient market. But I don't know how much longer they can just keep kicking the can down the road And especially if you're Brady Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot and company, you want to start playing meaningful hockey games here at some point soon.
Yeah, and I guess not to pile on Melnick with the unparalleled success. I'm not seeing this group like the Islanders of the 80s or the late 70s, early 80s or the Oilers of the 80s. I guess we're not there. But there at one point seemed like a two-foot putt to get an arena in downtown Ottawa, and that was before he and his business partner started suing each other. Is there any chance that they get something done in that capital district, or is the focus now on a new rink in conveniently located Kanata?
Well, I know that your market understands our pain very well of watching sort of this thing play out in public, and you lose patience, right? As a regular average person who's a taxpayer, you start to lose patience if you're a hockey fan with just get the damn deal done is what you're thinking, right? Like just find a way to get it done. And it was sitting right there for Ottawa in a downtown parcel of land, and it ended in lawsuits. But here's the funny thing. They're reopening the process right now, and they've invited the Senators back to the table. And Eugene Melnick has been quoted as saying, he told Post Media here not too long ago, about 4 weeks ago, that yeah, I'd be open to going back to the downtown site at LeBreton Flats. I'm like, well, here we go again. So there's a deadline at the end of February where they have to sort of state their intentions. So we will know, I'd say, guys, in the next 6 weeks if this happens. But as you know, with what happened in Calgary, until there's shovels in the ground, you really don't know if it's going to happen. And so I think there's a lot of skepticism. I think there's a lot of negativity swirled up in it. And I think there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, listen, until there's shovels in the ground, don't get back to me because this thing is a roller coaster ride.
We sit here with the building because I know that at the time, what, the Corral Center, and then it's changed names. It's certainly newer than the Saddle Dome. We are going to start venturing into the territory where teams are getting now their second building since the dome was built, right? I mean, if the Senators get another rink built, it's like, we got to get it together. I guess last one for you. With Tkachuk, with Batherson, Stützle, Chabot, I feel like it's not there yet, but I do like those players and I do feel it's coming. And Canadian teams, we get knocked for maybe it's just not a hot UFA destination. How close, I mean, do you think it's shifting at all? Because Tkachuk signs long-term. There's some long-term, they're not leaving. Do you feel like it's shifting a little bit for Ottawa, or is it still just going to come down to winning some games before anything changes?
No, it's shifted for sure. I think with Brady Tkachuk signing, Drake Batherson signing. Batherson signed a 6-year deal. Tkachuk signed a 7-year deal. When you do that, I think you set the core and you say, we want to be here. We want to win together. And I think that helps. And the piece of this that's going to be interesting, and the kids obviously got a Calgary connection too, is Jake Sanderson. Mm-hmm. And Jake is going to go over to play for Team USA in Beijing. He's going to go back to UND. And in all likelihood, he's going to end up signing his entry-level deal with Ottawa in March or April. And when that happens, I think that's going to be huge. They're hoping, look, is he going to be Cale Makar? I think that's a little unfair, but I think he's going to be unbelievable. I think he's going to be a legitimate top four defenseman. They got to give him some time to ease into the NHL. I hope we don't ratchet up the expectations too much, but he's going to be a special player. And I think when you have Thomas Chabot, Jake Sanderson, Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris, and Batherson and Timmy Stützle, like, that's a pretty good core. That's five or six really good players that should be top six forwards and top four D. Just get the goaltending ironed out and you'll be good to go. So it does feel like it's moving in the right direction, but it feels like it's happening at a glacial pace. And I think that's what's really frustrating for Ottawa fans.
Ian, as always, appreciate you for coming on. Enjoy your work. Keep it up and enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, same to you guys. Have a great day.
There's Ian Mendez. He's done Sportsnet. He's done TSN. He's been a columnist, the Ottawa Citizen, Today's Parent Magazine, and also The Athletic. Does a little bit of it all. And I knew the first question was going to be Matt Murray. That's why I stayed away.
Oh, it's got to be, right? Like, it's the soap opera. Because we all just raised our eyebrows when they made that move. And I believe it was like Cirelli and Sergachev and a few other guys are RFAs. It's like, if you're going to give up a second, why not go offer sheet like a good player, not like this huge roll of the dice on a bounce back for a guy that has been really bad in net for a couple seasons?
I didn't realize the real money, because the cap hit is obviously 6.25, which that's too much for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But real money, 7 next year, eight the year after.
And so if you want to keep the asset, like if he ever got back to being a good goalie, which is the bet they're making, they would have to have what? Qualified him or he's a U at that point. Either way, it's
yeah,
sets them up for paying him too much again if he's could ever stop the puck again. It's been rough.
He's big, I mean, big goalie. 6'4", it takes up a lot of net.
I know lots of guys 6'4" that aren't in the NHL stop box. Weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Be
yeah.
Nice. Wedding. Yeah. Looking forward to this. When we come back, it is Brady versus Matthew tonight. We're going to talk to Mom when we come back. Chantel Kachuk will join us next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.